This is PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by Anthony Montantine, musician, friend. If this is your first episode, this is a podcast about pop culture, everything that is or the things that you enjoy in life, all the ingredients that what you need, as that TikTok says. You name one other show that in 3 weeks' time does a Gilmore Girls episode, a Fran Lebowitz episode, and then an anime episode.
You're really just cranking them out.
Anthony, I have proudly never missed a Wednesday. Since we started dropping on Wednesdays, I've never missed a show. No break.
Shit, man. I mean, hell yeah. Jen told me how dedicated you are, and I wanted to tell you, like, firsthand, like, that's awesome. The consistency is amazing. Like, not just as your friend, but as someone looking on the outside in, as someone who listens to the podcast, that's really, really amazing.
Well, thank you very much. If nothing, I show up, and that's the most important thing.
I clock in, and then I start.
Here you go. It's Wednesday. So today's like a kind of a special episode in that if you're familiar with the show, we almost always like have a topic, something to discuss. Maybe it's a list episode. Maybe we're going to take a deep dive on a movie or a book. But what we're talking about today is something different because I, your humble host, I am changing. I am evolving. I am finding not my final form, but a greater form. For a very long time, I had a blind spot in media culture, and that was anime. And now I'm getting into it. And Anthony, I invited you on the show because I know that you're into it. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah. How I started with me, it's that's how I bonded with my dad. We would sit there every Saturday
People
night.
People should know that your dad was a giant robot.
My dad is actually a mech. if you've seen Big O, he is the mech that takes care of me.
Get inside.
Get inside the mech, Shinji, please. but I started bonding with my dad over anime on like Saturdays and stuff. We would stay up until like maybe 2 or 3 in the morning watching like all the anime. And like my first ever one, and I will hold this down to the day I die, was Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball, like the original Goku, baby Goku, slapping Bulma on the crotchal area because she's like, your bones are missing. Like that's my first ever one. Like, and it's still to this day, like my favorite thing.
Is it really?
It changes. But like, when it comes to like what really got me into it, it's definitely just Dragon Ball. Like, and most people are just like not super into the fighting and like super into like the animation, the voice acting work, Japanese or English. But I don't know. Like, it holds a very special place in my heart. Like, whatever your first anything was, your first thing that got you into cinematography, the first thing that got you into music, like, it's going to hold a special place in your heart. It might not hold up, like, as a piece overall through the years, but it will hold up in your heart no matter what.
How old were you?
I'm going to say I was fairly young, but the more I remember, it's probably around, like, 10 or 11. Like, that's when, like, the memories really started to stick.
That's, like, the age, in a way. Like, I saw Star Wars, I think, when I was, like, 11. That formed who I am.
Same. And that's also a big part of like around this time of my life, Star Wars was introduced, anime was introduced, a lot more like different kinds of music was introduced. And I was like, what? There's stuff outside of my comfort zone that I can like? Holy shit. Like, it's amazing that once you open a door, like you can kind of just traverse it and see what you get out of it. You might not like everything, but you can take things from the stuff that you don't really like enjoy and be like, oh, I like this bit about it. So if this show might have this or this song has this, I like this part. Like, it's, you can pick and choose the things that you like about certain things without having to bash them. And that's what I like about like the community of friends that I made, especially around like the anime culture.
Yeah, that's the kind of like vibe that I am always striving for with PCMC. And I know sometimes I break it and sometimes I'm hard on some people, but for the most part, I'm kind of like, you know, these things are for us to enjoy. So, like, why am I going to spend my precious life, like, gatekeeping somebody or, like, hating somebody because they like a thing I don't like? It's like, who? I don't have the time. Like, if you go on YouTube, which this show does not appear on YouTube, everyone says, you should put it on YouTube. You should, like, just do whatever. It's like, YouTube is so toxic. To me, the world of podcasts is so chill, and YouTube is so... Any YouTube video has downvotes. It could be a video of a little kitten. You'll see 12 downvotes. It's like, who are these fucking people?
Have you ever looked at the panda sneezing video? There's actual people disliking that video still, and it hurts me. I know. Like, why do you hate this panda?
I know you go on like YouTube and like put in like Star Wars, and mostly what you find is like dudes, white dudes, explaining to you why like Daisy Ridley's bad and like why The Last Jedi is awful. And it's just like, I don't have time to hate the thing that I love.
Right. It's and you can also be hard on the thing that you love. You can also be critical of the thing that you love, and that's where a lot of people fall flat on their face when they really get into something, or when they like become part of a fan. They're like, it's good. And if you hate it, you suck. Like, I don't hate it. I just like to pick it apart and be like, I don't really like how they wrote this or how they did this. But it doesn't mean I don't like it. It just means that at this current point in time, like, these are the things I kind of don't like. But like, overall, it's a great film. Like, I know we're getting really off topic of what we're supposed to talk about, but the new Disney, this is, I'm taking Jen's segment, the new Disney movie that's coming out, I forget what it's called. About the last dragon, I forgot. I was on TikTok and this girl was like talking about how the disconnect kind of comes because the dragon doesn't really look like it's from the culture and all that. But she prefaced it at the end, like, just because I said I'm not feeling like this dragon actually is fitting into the movie as a whole, doesn't mean that I'm not gonna go watch it, doesn't mean that I'm not gonna go see it.
Right. You're allowed to have a critical eye. It's called Raya in the Last Dragon.
Raya, yes.
Not to be confused with The Last Dragon with Bruce Leroy and Show Nuff. which is a crazy movie. If you've never seen The Last Dragon. All right, we're so off topic. All right. So, yes, I'm new at this. You say the thing that got you into it is Dragon Ball. One of the things that I find almost kind of intimidating and impenetrable is, first of all, they title things so different from the way we title things in Western culture. When you say Dragon Ball, does that mean the same thing as Dragon Ball Z? Are they different? Is it like 3,000 seasons?
So each thing, like that's a good question. Each thing, most people get confused with that too, is that Dragon Ball is its own, like it's the start, right? And then you move on to Dragon Ball Z, which is like the time skip or like the jump in time where Goku's older. And then you go to, I think it's GT next. People don't rip me apart. I haven't seen all of them, but the last one that I watched, the latest one was Super. Super is like the furthest down the timelines get, but each Dragon Ball Z, GT, Super, they're all same Dragon Ball, yes, but they're in different, like, they're basically like time skips.
All right. So what was the one that you got into? The original Dragon Ball?
Original Dragon Ball, like Goku as a fresh alien baby that came down from space in a pod with a tail, red staff, and all that flying on a cloud. That was my first one.
Okay. Having not seen any of it, I feel like all I ever hear is Dragon Ball Z. Is that the most popular one?
People love Z, but I also don't know because a lot of people just reference Dragon Ball as Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
And that's perfectly okay because sometimes you don't feel like, oh, Dragon Ball Super. Like when people say Z, you have to wait and listen to them to be like, which one are you talking about?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess when I was in grad school, I got a little into some stuff. Like I watched Akira and I've seen some Miyazaki movies, obviously, like Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle and stuff. Mm-hmm. Akira, I really liked. I got kind of a little bit obsessed with Ghost in the Shell 1 and 2.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Ghost in the Shell is amazing.
I took a class in grad school that was awesome. That was like all about cyborgs. So like I had to watch those for that class. It was pretty cool. So, but I had never seen any series. And I don't know, maybe you tell me, when you're an anime fan, is the TV stuff more important to the community? I feel like I used to say, oh, I've seen this movie, that movie, and be like, yeah, but what shows do you watch?
Okay, I see what you're asking. Let me just make sure. You're talking about like the importance of like the movies versus the shows, like the series, or
right? Like I used to say, like, oh yeah, I'm interested in anime. Like I've watched Akira, I've watched Miyazaki movies, and people were like, yeah, but do you watch Cowboy Bebop? Do you watch Neon Genesis Evangelion? Like people would ask me, like people would kind of imply that because I hadn't watched any series, I'm not truly an anime fan.
Right. Okay. No. I think whatever you get into is perfect because it's a gateway. There are people that I know that have just strictly watched Pokemon, and I am all for it. I love that you've watched at least Pokemon, or you watch Digimon or something, or even fucking Yu-Gi-Oh, dude. Like, I prefer you to have, like, whatever thing you can hold on to be like, I watched a little bit of it. Like, that's great. And I guess for some people, I'm not gonna call, I guess maybe elitist, or maybe people that are like kind of like gatekeeping like the world of anime, which at this point in 2021, there's no point. It's on the forefront of fashion news networks. As a matter of fact, there was when the coronavirus hit, Japan made a whole thing, a whole like little disclaimer for coronavirus using a character from One Piece, Chomper, because he's a doctor in that show. So they used him to announce that, hey, this is the things you need to do to be safe. I feel that whatever you have, whatever you can hold on, like whatever you got you into anime or like that genre is perfectly fine. You don't need to watch a series, but like you should like expand yourself a little bit, not because like, you should know, like you never watched a series. No, it's more like branch out. Like it's cool once you have that one thing, but look for stuff that's in that genre too, because that way I prefer TV shows because it's, I can consume at the rate that I want.
Which is voraciously?
No, I break them up so much.
Oh, you do?
Oh my God.
You're a pleasure delayer. You like stretch it out.
Yep. It could be like, I'm behind right now. I think I'm like 4 episodes behind on the new anime Jujutsu Kaisen, but everyone's like, bro, you should watch it when it comes out. Like, here's the release date. I'm like, I don't do that. I like the stockpile and watch as I go, because when I don't have any more to watch, I get sad.
Okay.
But for your, in your case, like you watched Akira, Ghost in the Shell, great, amazing films. Like they are amazing, amazing films. And at that point, I guess some, like, I guess people that come across it, they are either just really curious or they're just being like, you're not a real fan if you haven't watched the series. Like, I don't,
that's the gatekeeping shit.
Yeah, that's stupid gatekeeping shit. And I don't think that should be, especially, like I said, now in 2021, where it's on the forefront of everything. You're going to have people that are going to come in and be like, oh, I love Naruto. Oh, I love Dragon Ball. Oh, I love Bleach. I just started watching it. And you can't hate on them for, like, just getting into it, because you don't know what lives they live behind the scenes to get them to this point. Right. Because sometimes when you, like, your parents are like people that you really like enjoy to be around for the most part, like when you're younger years, you're just like, they don't like anime, so I'm not gonna like anime. But then you branch off from those people,
right,
and you like get your own like individuality. You start to like look at this, be like, this is actually like some good stuff. Like this is like not as weird as all these people were making it out to be. Granted, there is some weird shit out there.
Right. Well, it's, yeah, I mean, I think some people who don't know anything about anime, like anything, they think that it's porn, or that, you know, they think that it's hentai and that's all it is.
Oh yeah. They just think it's just titties and all that, but like it's the running joke with the anime community is anime titties. Right, like it's just the joke that comes along with it. I'm not saying that there's not any truth behind it. But like it, anime titties. That is the running gag.
Right, fan service. Right, they call it fan service.
Fan service. Like you'll get a girl with really unrealistic body type, really like chokehold waist with like very large breasts.
Yeah,
and you're just like, what? What is this?
Right, and there'll be a random episode where you're at the beach.
Oh my God, the beach episodes.
What is that about? Why the beach episodes?
I personally have never like batted an eye to it, but they're really more in like slice of life animes or like coming of age animes where they can like slip it in there. But I think I think beach episodes are just like a trope for like people for the creators of the show. It's like, you know what we need? A beach episode.
Yeah.
And I think those are just like filler episodes, honestly. They sometimes add to the story, so sometimes not filler, sometimes they are, but like sometimes they just want to do it because they need time to work on the actual story, or they just already wrote it in while they were making it. Like,
right. Yeah. Let's see. My current sort of growing obsession, it began, I guess, late last year. I read this book called Pure Imagination, which was about Japanese pop culture. And like, there was a chapter on toys, a chapter on Nintendo, a chapter on kawaii, a chapter on anime. And I love this book. I like read it, like I sucked it up. And the chapter on anime talked a lot about Neon Genesis Evangelion. I don't know. Actually, I never know if I'm saying it right. Evangelion or Evangelion?
I say Evangelion. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but I've always said my entire life Neon Genesis Evangelion. And whoever can like fact check either of us, whether I'm saying it right or Mike is saying it right, please, by all means, But I said I've been saying Evangelion my entire life.
And then like I've kind of gone down a Japanese culture or Japanese pop culture like a fucking hole for like the last 4 months. Let's see. I got really into like looking at kawaii stuff and learning about that. I watched Urakumo. I played like most of the major Mario games. I played like 7 Mario games in a row. I watched Neon Genesis Evangelion. That's when it really got me, because I was watching and it was a weird time. That's sort of a depressed show, and I was in a depressed point in my life.
Oh yeah, no, that show is what we call growing pains. That is coming of age, but with mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's very, my grandmother just died, and, like, the week of, like, when she died was when I started watching it, so, like, I don't know, like, it went together very well, and I just got super, super into it, and that's only one season, and then, like, it's like one season and a movie, but also there's another movie that's the show again, and then there's also, like, remake movies that are titled weird things. There's so much.
There's a lot.
But I got that super like got me. Like I'm a little bit obsessed with that right now.
And that's great, honestly, because mech anime mixed with like coming of age, mixed with like these kids with mental illness,
yeah,
them coming into it. I love that show because it's so dark. I shouldn't have watched it at the age I was, because I was very young when I started watching it, but like it warps you a little bit.
Tell me about that. How did you react? Did you watch it with your dad?
Yeah, I watched it with my dad. My dad was sitting right next to me.
How did you react to that?
Here's the thing. I was very, very odd as a small child. I didn't really talk a lot. I was very like mute. I didn't like people all that much. I was very secluded into myself. And the only time I really had to like hang out and do stuff was like with my dad. And that's the time I really cherished. And honestly, going into, first of all, the intro is what caught me, because I have a very musical brain.
Yeah.
You hear that intro and you're just like, I have to be here for the rest of this time. What's happening?
Cruel Angel's thesis.
I can't tell you how many times I have no disrespect to her, but I forgot her name, but the singer, watched her live concerts and they go fucking bananas and I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at home watching, I'm like, yes!
No, it is an amazing theme song.
Watching it as a kid, I didn't. So when you're a kid, you have like this veil over your eyes for years, up until like reality really just slaps you in the face and like, oh, take it off. So I didn't really absorb everything.
Right, like, right.
I'm not really grossed out by blood. I'm not really grossed out by like limbs and stuff being torn off or things exploding. So I watched it. I just took it in for the art and for the sounds and the music of it. And then I got older and I watched it again. I was like, wow, this is fucked up.
Yeah, like, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah, these kids get put into these mechs. And essentially each of them, there's three, for anyone who hasn't watched it yet, which I hopefully you do after this. Three kids are put into these mechs, and each of them has their own issue. The main character, you find out, his name's Shinji, which this isn't a spoiler because you find out in the first 5 minutes of the
episode. You can spoil shit, it's fine.
Oh, cool. Fuck yeah. So they get into these, like, mechs that are also living beings, which is fucking weird.
Right.
But this kid, Shinji, has abandonment issues, like extreme abandonment issues, because his dad left him to go work on these robots. He said, fuck you, son. World peace.
Right.
Left. I think he was left with his aunt or grandmother.
A teacher.
He was left with a teacher. Fuck, yeah. That's right. He was left with a teacher. His dad literally left him at the tender age of like 6.
Right.
And then called for him to come. Super abusive. Called him back to where he was doing his work and said, you're going to get in this robot and pilot it. I don't know why. I don't know why you thought I called you here to catch up. No, you're piloting this.
Right.
Threw him in the mech. And basically said, if you don't do this, get the fuck out. And that, again, that's like a weird, like, first 5 minute fact that you miss, like, when you're a kid, because you're just enjoying what you're seeing, the hand drawnness, the really 90s vibe that you get from it. And oh my God, like, it was like watching it now. I rewatched it before the podcast, like, during this week, just to like refresh my brain. And it is. Like, the more you really read into, like, these kids, they're all just looking for affection, attention, and stability, which right. they none of them have had their entire existence, which is fucking crazy.
Right. And one of the three is a clone.
Oh my god. And how'd you feel? How'd you feel when you saw the tube?
I knew something had to be up.
As of that first fight where she just magically was okay afterwards. Yeah. I tell you, that was a hard scene to watch because they just basically made her fold and melt like Play-Doh that was just like kinetic, not even Play-Doh, kinetic sand. Uh-huh. That you just left in the water and it kind of just fell apart. You're just like, oh god.
It's fucked up. It's so a, see, I'm wondering, when you saw it as a kid, do you remember watching the last two episodes?
Yeah, I remember not understanding the fuck.
I just watched them and I don't think I understand them.
So what I think I'm remembering this correctly. The author deadline, I think he ran late, so he had to rush the ending. That's why there's so many other iterations of Evangelion for the true ending and the true this.
Right.
Because he didn't have time to finish it on the actual series.
Yeah. The creator, Hideaki Anno, we're just talking about, we're talking about it, so we're gonna spoil it. But it's one season, and like Anthony said, it's a mech show. It's very similar, you know. It's taking a very classic idea that goes all the way back to like Astro Boy, like a kid goes into a mech suit, or you know what I mean, like, or Gundam. Like this has been done a million times, mm-hmm. but instead it's almost like pastiche or even like parody, because it's a show about, you know, kids and giant robots fighting what they call angels, but they're basically like monsters. But the show is not that concerned with that. The show is much more interested in like everyone's psychological and emotional lives. And the last two episodes, which when they first aired, people were pissed, are all just like these montages of like inside the minds of the characters, just like their emotional struggle. Like the plot kind of just like goes away entirely. And it's just like monologues. It just takes this left turn and becomes super art film.
Out of nowhere. Like, very sketchy, very black and white. Like you don't know what's happening anymore, because the last thing that they show you is Shinji being spit out by 01. That's the last thing that they show you, and you're just like, okay, Shinji's alive. And then the next two episodes is just like, let's take a deeper dive into every single character that you've seen so far, and let's fuck them up for you just a little bit. Honestly, they could have done that. I think people would have been less pissed if they did that and then continued on with the story,
right?
Just because I personally love those two episodes, because I didn't really analyze the characters all that much watching them like years back.
Sure.
So rewatching those episodes, this even like now doing it again, you find out so much trauma lies in every single character that is in that show. Like no character that you see that has like main parts is normal or like has like a regular functioning relationship with society themselves or other.
Every one of them. Yeah. Every one of them is looking for something, trying to make up for something. Adults and children and everybody.
No one, like everyone has their problems. And I think that's going back to what you said. Like you really stop caring about the mech part.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell that the creator is got to be going through something.
Oh, I think
you can tell when you watch it, because it's just like, it kind of, I don't want to say devolves because that sounds negative, but like the show just becomes more and more interested in like what people are feeling in that whole journey.
The show starts being a mech anime and becomes more concerned about the human condition.
Right. It's also a very negative anime, because from like the very first episode, you get the vibe that like they're going to lose. Like it's almost like if you ever saw Starship Troopers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there were some shows like Power Rangers where you're like, yeah, they're going to get in the robots and they're going to win. But from like episode one of Neon Genesis Evangelion, it's like, oh, wow, like they suck. These suits aren't even that good. They're attached to like a fucking umbilical cord. Well, so they can't even move that much.
I didn't even say that. No, it's not even. It's they're covered in this goo shit.
Yeah.
That neurologically syncs them up to the mech. So if the mech gets shot in the fucking arm, they feel it as if they got shot in the arm.
Right.
That is such a poor design.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And just the angels just increasingly are more fucked up. Like they start off like basic like kaiju Godzilla type monsters, and then like one of them is just a flying hexagon, And it's like, what? Like it just gets weirder and weirder. And it's like, there's no way these people could win. The world is over. Like, just pack it up.
It's legit the moment. I forget. Why am I blanking on her name? I just watched it. The blue hair girl. Help.
Ray.
There's a scene where that hexagon is in the sky. It is about to drop the fattest laser you could possibly imagine on the base. Like, their base of operations, where Shinji's dad is, where all the scientists are. He's about to literally just drop it. The plan is that they need to stop it with, like, this force field that 01 can, like, Shinji's mech can produce, and just pop it above and just hold it up there while Rei tries to snipe it. I don't know if they realize that this is essentially just the Warhammer from Gears of War coming down on 10 times steroids to destroy something. So Shinji pops the shield. He gets it. It's hitting the shield. His arms are basically about to fall off. Rei pushes him out the way and gets disintegrated.
Yeah.
He gets absolutely obliterated by this laser. And like you said, they are not meant to win. This is a story about the bad guys winning, and you're just here for the ride to see where the main characters can progress or degress in the show.
It's like they're fighting a war that there's just no way they could win, because they don't know anything really about their enemy.
They said they come from space. That's it.
And they're just kids. Like, they're like
emotional kids with hormones going through puberty and shit.
Right.
Just trying to go to school.
Right.
And they have to deal with mortality, people dying, worrying if they're going to die. Like,
yeah,
they get so much shit dumped on them in the first like 3 to 4 episodes, and you feel bad. You feel increasingly bad for each of them. Even for, like, Asuka, who, when you first meet her, she has such a superiority complex. She seems to have all the confidence in the world.
Right.
And then she gets ignored this one time.
Right.
And it's over.
She freaks out. You find out that her mother lost her mind and then died of suicide and tried to kill her, too, so she could take her with her. They all have mommy or daddy issues.
It's so bad. Like, it's not even, like, you can't go into the show and looking for, like, to redeem any of these characters, by the way.
No.
You have to accept that each of them are just fucked up.
Right. and then after the show came out, people were, like, unhappy with the ending. So they did they made a movie. They really made 2 movies. The first movie came out really quick, and it's basically just a rehashing of the show. It's literally just, like, all the episodes of the show made into a movie form. But then the next year was a movie called The End of Evangelion. And that's like basically like, here's another ending. But what I love about that movie is that also devolves into like mumbo jumbo crazy shit too. It's not like that movie makes total sense.
There's footage from like the original base where they started doing shit and them getting absolutely smoked. And then they continue on with the actual story, which you probably already seen by watching the first like season.
Yeah.
So you're just like, what does any of this have to do with the actual story? Like, you could have put this in the actual series and we would have accepted it.
Right.
I love this show.
And now, have you seen any of the new movies? Cause now they're like, the creator is like remaking them with like digital. I don't know how to describe it. Cause I haven't even seen them. Yeah. It's a little bit like the Star Wars special editions, but even more than that, because he's like changing things. He's like adding new shit. And
I haven't seen any of the new ones. People have told me like to go watch them because apparently it gets better in there. It's more cohesive as a show, but I haven't had the time.
It's hard to get your hands on.
Stuff too. Yeah. I spent like right now, in terms of like films and stuff that like anime that's hard to get your hands on, the Demon Slayer movie that came out a while ago, which also, by the way, saved the film industry in Japan. That movie killed the box office. Wow. But like Japanese animation films are so hard to get your hands on if they do not announce it's going to be in the US. Because they're like, especially now, they have every wall you could possibly think of set up to where you can't have it until they say so.
So when you were a kid, were you watching like Toonami? Were you getting VHS tapes? Like, how were you getting it as a kid?
Oh, Toonami. Toonami all day. I love Tom. Toonami.
For the youngsters that listen to the show, tell them what Toonami was.
Toonami was this digital pirating, like After Dark, at like what Adult Swim is now for like adult animation. This is for anime. This came on directly after the block of like, all right, good night, kids. on Cartoon Network.
Right.
And then this robot man in space is like, I'm about to shoot you all this illegal animation stuff straight to your televisions. Watch this. And it was the coolest thing. It was like pirate radio for anime. And like in that format, it really got people into it more because like the idea of like this space robot pirate giving you these shows that you're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
It's so cool, right? And Steve Bloom, who voiced pretty much everything that I love, bless his soul, is the voice of Tom. And if you don't, and if you don't know who he is the voice of Spike Spiegel and Cowboy Bebop as well.
Okay. Is that, I see, I never watched any of that stuff at that time. Was that stuff subbed or dubbed?
It was dubbed. The majority of the stuff was dubbed when it came over.
That makes sense. It's American TV.
American TV, yeah.
Good question to ask you. Yeah. Subs versus dubs.
I do not care, honestly. So
okay.
So the thing, I never understood that elite shit either. Like, oh, do you watch a dub or sub? Oh, you watch dub, you fucking lit. No, right. I don't get it. I really don't. Like, what if the sub's great? Like, Japanese voice acting is, do not get me wrong, it is unmatched in emotion and overall just acting. It is amazing. But what if the dub is actually really good too and you're just being stupid and not giving it a chance? Like, there are shows where I will not watch it. I will not watch it dubbed. Demon Slayer is one of them. Not anything against the voice actors. I just personally don't think that's how I hear them in English.
Yeah,
voice.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, doesn't mean that the dub is bad. It just means that I hear them differently in my head in English.
Right.
So I'll watch it sub. When I first started watching Attack on Titan, I only watched it sub for a while because I couldn't get used to the English voice acting, which again, it's not knock on the English voice actors. They're doing their job. They're doing the best they can. And I've watched video upon video of like all the research they have to do, all the translating they have to do to get the product out to us and make it as best they can. So, but then there's shows like My Hero Academia where I love the dub. The dub and the sub are virtually, to me, sound almost the same. With an exception of a few parts, right? I really like, I don't care. Whatever I catch it with first and I like it is what I'm usually sticking with.
Okay. I think I actually totally agree with you because it's not like live action, right? With a live action foreign film that's dubbed, you can clearly see that the mouths aren't matching the act. You're not getting the actor's actual performance, but these are animated. So what's the difference? Like, all right, if you say like, oh, the original cast was better, then okay, cool, I'll check that out. But like you said, it might not be the case.
Right. It really depends on your ear, right? Because there are times where dubs won't come out for months and you'll just be like, okay, I'll stick there and watch the subs. I'm cool with that. But like overall, like you should just, whatever you have time for, honestly, right. That's the real answer. It's like, because sometimes you don't have time to sit down and just watch an episode and read along with it. Sometimes you're doing other stuff and you have stuff going on. And you need to just put it on and be like,
yeah, sometimes okay. My brain just like, I'm still watching it, but like my brain is like, I'm just going to go for a dub right now.
Oh my God. Like you're just tired. Like you don't, sometimes you just don't have the mental energy to read your show because it's maybe lazy, but like sometimes like full-time jobs, sometimes I get off of work and I'm like, I want to watch an anime, but I don't feel like reading.
No, I completely agree. I'm trying to remember the name of the show I'm watching right now. I'm watching a show now. Gurren
Lagann.
Yeah, I'm watching that dubbed.
Gurren Lagann dubbed is not bad.
Yeah,
not at all.
Although my only issue so far with the show, I'm like three episodes in, is that the main female character Yoko is so naked and bouncy. It almost every scene she's in, it like takes me out of it.
It's so like, much. It's like, so much titties.
It's like, too much. It's like breaks the show. Like a little bit is fine, but it's like, first of all, it makes no sense. You're like
a badass sniper protection. Bounty hunter. Like you are.
Yeah, like you've got, you're nothing but skin. That's not very good for protection. Like literally, even her, like you can see her under boob. Like even her like little like bikini doesn't. And it's like, how am I supposed to take this character seriously?
It's hard, like, and I think that's also, I think I felt that disconnect too when I first watched it.
Yeah.
How many episodes are you in right now?
I think I'm on either three or four. I'm towards the beginning.
That disconnect does come in a lot, especially with Yoko, especially in the first two episodes with Yoko. I love her. I love her character. I love how she's just half naked and sassy and just wants to hit people.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny to me. But like, cause you just like, cause whenever like they make a character like that, they're usually very submissive. Like, oh my God, my clothing. But she's
right,
like,
right.
You touch my titty, I'm going to knock your teeth out. I'm like, okay, cool. I like you.
Yeah.
But the later down the line, I would say like, they're still there, but like, you stop caring about it after a while, and you more get engrossed with the growth of the characters instead. Titties are still there, but like, it's hard. It's a very hard disconnect once you see them, because they're always so, like, someone just took like car buffer, or, like car shine, and just straight up said, "All right, send her in. Make sure the light hits the boobs the right way."
I know. And this show is created by Gannex, which also did Neon Genesis Evangelion, and they're famous for creating something called the Gannex Bounce, which is the boobies bounce when they move in any way. So you got that going on.
that's their steez, dude. It's so much. And also, I teach a class about anime at work. Mm. This show came out around the time where they were extremely experimental with colors and like extremely experimental with like backgrounds, and where the backgrounds became more of the focus and the ambience of it was painted by the colors. And watching Gurren Lagann at night is not something you shouldn't do.
Okay.
Oh my God, your room is going to light up like Christmas, because
yeah,
transformation sequences, the mechs coming out, it's all just, they said, take the whole palette, throw it on the screen, see what happens.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. It's really beautiful. Some of this stuff is really beautiful. I just watched Fooly Cooly.
Oh my God, that was on the list I was going to give you too. FLCL. Oh my God.
And that's a pretty dense show. Like, I had to like stop and like,
you have to
like,
take
what
it in.
Was happening?
You have to take it in like such a different way you would any traditional like story, which I always find hysterical, because I love Fooly Cooly. I love Fooly Cooly, just because of how obscure and weird it is. Like, nothing is ever explained properly. They give you like a sprinkle of things, and then it's just never ever actually explained.
How would you explain it to somebody? Like, if somebody were like, what's this show about? Like, how would you sell it to them?
Teenage boy with hormones has girlfriend that smokes a lot, but then meets weird demon biker chick who hits him over the head with a bass guitar and infects him with this robot that becomes his servant.
Okay, so you didn't even get into the shit coming out of his head.
No.
That's the weirder shit.
No, I think the selling point of the robot appearing out of him first is the selling point, because you're just like, okay, then what else pops out of his head? That's
yeah. The case. You know, it's not just Fooly Cooly. I think anime in general, I'm feeling, as I'm getting into it for the first time, that I'm learning how to watch anime. And anime, you know, like, I'm being very general with all of this stuff, because anime goes way back to the 60s, and then even earlier than that if you're thinking about like manga and stuff. Like, but there is, you know, I'm used to Western cartoons. Like, I talk about Disney all the time on here. You know, I have episodes on like Over the Garden Wall and Gravity Falls. Mm. You know, look up the feed and look at what I have to say about those things. So, like, I feel like as I'm watching all of these shows, I'm learning how to watch them, because it is different. It is a little different.
Curve. It's a learning curve if you're coming from like just Western culture and Western cartoons, because there are stories that you get and you're just like, I feel like Western culture kind of hands you the story bit by bit, like in every single episode, where like in anime, they'll go 10 episodes and explain something that you thought about a while ago. Or there are animes that where you can watch the whole season and then they'll pose a question in the beginning, and then towards the very end, they'll answer that question that you haven't thought about.
Right.
Like, maybe a week.
Yeah. I think what I'm learning is I can't get frustrated. I can't like, I want them to answer this thing. Like, you just have to just go with whatever it's giving you.
Yeah, you just have to, because they're going to give it to you. It's going to happen. You just have to be patient enough to get to that point. Because whether you know it or not, they've already answered your question. Just they didn't give it to you. They just said, here's your answer. Maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't. But we'll actually say that we gave you the answer in a couple episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Fooly Cooly, or FLCL, is super dense. Like, I don't necessarily And again, spoiler for all of this shit. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily get what happened with his dad at all.
I don't either. I don't think anyone does. I think I've watched Fooly Cooly. Again, this is a song. This is a show that I watched in my youth. Again, yeah. And I say that like I'm like old. I'm not that old, but like when I was very young, this is another show where I just took it in for like
20 years old at this point.
Yeah, like I took this in at a very young age, and as an adult, I took it in again. They have FLCL2, which is even more fucking dense. Like, you don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
I mean, if you get through the first one, watch the second one.
Yeah.
But there's still so much to unpack. Like, they try to answer your questions from last season, but then they give you more questions.
Yeah. So, when you were a kid, you had Toonami. What would you say is the spot now? Netflix?
Oh, no. What?
No,
Netflix gets stuff so late. It's absolutely ridiculous. You're better off.
Yeah.
With Hulu, HBO Max, or just getting a Funimation account or Crunchyroll. If you really want to get into some anime.
I don't even know what Funimation and Crunchyroll are.
So Funimation originally, believe it or not, was a channel you could go to on Time Warner.
Okay.
And you can actually just scroll there and sit there and watch anime all day, which is what I used to do. And then one day it wasn't there, and I got sad. So they became a streaming network. It's essentially where if it's coming out in Japan, it's going to get to Funimation pretty soon. Crunchyroll, if you want it the day of or like the day it's going to come out or like the day after, Crunchyroll.
Oh, really?
Hulu has animes and everything like that. Also, they just get stuff a little bit later. And then HBO Max has an anime section for like the newer stuff, which is The God of High School or Jujutsu Kaisen.
Uh-huh.
And a bunch of other ones that I'm forgetting, but like I've only watched those two so far. But like if you want to watch anime or get into some older anime, they even on Hulu they have Akira.
Mm-hmm.
And Ghost in the Shell, actually. So like if any of these pique your interest and you have those,
yeah,
please go watch them.
So if you're like a young kid now, probably has way more access to this stuff than when you were a little kid.
Oh yeah, I had to wait weeks up until like a new episode would come out. Like it was torture because I'm one of those people that watched Naruto on television from beginning to end when it was on Toonami.
How many seasons of that are there?
I'm gonna probably like botch this. I think it's like 12 or 15.
God damn! Wow. And you watched all of that?
Every single episode I've watched. And when people have questions, like one of our coworkers started watching Naruto, I think he finished it. And he had questions. I was like, I'm your man. It's all stored up here somewhere. And I have the answers.
So for this episode, when we were talking about it earlier this week, you said you were going to come up with a list of like shit that I should watch.
Oh, yes. Yes. I still have that extensive list right here. I was like, I hope he hasn't watched any of these yet, but like, I
would be impressed with myself if I have watched any of them, but let's get into it. I'm interested in hearing.
All right. The first one is the one that probably everyone yells at you to watch if you just start anime, which is Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop. If you have the time for it, you're going to love it. It's sci-fi action in space. The characters have their own like extreme personalities that like clash with each other. It's amazing. It's an amazing show. And overall the aesthetics, it's super duper washed out in terms of color. It's very muted. Mm-hmm. But like that just adds to the charm when you see something super bright in the distance or like you see the stars in space. This shit is it's just so beautiful to look at as like concept art. And I'm a big fan. I'm a big person on intros. My rule is if the intro don't slap, I probably didn't like it. but Cowboy Bebop has a jazz number for its intro. And it's absolutely no words, just bebop. That's okay. It is such. It's worth it, honestly. It's one of those. It's one of those staples. Like you got to Neon Genesis. Cowboy Bebop is along with that staple, and for like people that love shoujo, Sailor Moon as well, which I also have watched a little bit of Sailor Moon because of my now fiance.
Congratulations on your upcoming nuptials.
Thank you.
Tell us what shoujo means. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, shoujo just means female led, and shonen is male led.
Okay.
So I don't know if you, like we're on Zoom right now for anyone that's just like it, like for the people listening, and I have anime posters like in the back. Mm. There's High School Host Club, which is my girlfriend's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Over there is Sailor Moon. I hate it so much because she had the VHSs, all of them, in Japanese and in English. And wow. the basement flooded and ruined them. We can only save about like six, and I was so upset about it.
That sucks.
I feel so bad for her because that's like her favorite. She has Sailor Moon tattoos. Like that is her favorite thing.
Wow. Do you have any anime tattoos?
I don't. I really don't have any anime tattoos. I was gonna get that scene where 01 rips her mouth open from Evangelion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very creepy left arm piece where it's just a bunch of dark stuff. There's a centipede, a wolf. Uh-huh. Lilith from, like, if in biblical terms, she is the devil's wench. I have the face of Emil from Nier Automata, and I have a bat on the back of my on my tricep. So I wanted him to be on like my. I wanted that specific shot, that panel, to be on my my bicep.
Well, maybe someday soon.
Someday soon. I have to make the appointment. I've just been lazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. Shonen shoujo. Shoujo just means female led, and shonen is male led or more geared towards men, which at this point is a dead concept.
Oh, okay.
It's such a dead concept. Like, you don't know. I'll be on TikTok, and there are things that are geared towards men or like geared towards like the male fan base, and there's mainly female fan base for a thing that was geared towards guys. Like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is the most masculine shit you could possibly watch, but we have these girls and these women just cosplaying the characters, and I love that. I love that so much. I love that how that's such a dead concept now.
Okay. What else you got on that list?
I got the Gundam series, brother.
Okay, so that will take me like 70 years, though, right? So
that'll take
you. Isn't it been on since like 1902?
Yes, it's been on for a very long time. But the one I would say for you to watch to really get into it, which I feel when I watch Gundam, it's what made Shonen and Shoujo kind of blend together, where like it was meant for girls, it was meant for boys, because mm-hmm. it was a mech anime that focused on story and romance, but also hardship and all that. Iron-Blooded Orphan, which you can find that on Netflix if you have it.
Okay, so that's the Gundam to watch.
To start with, for me personally, I would give that to someone who's never seen a Gundam series. Be like, here you go, have this. This is like newer. It came out in, I think, 2016. And it's a good watch. I like the story a lot personally, because I was very entranced with how they told it. This is after the big Gundam war that happened like years ago. And you're like seeing the aftermath of like these orphan kids on a farm working for like potatoes and shit. And being used as cannon fodder. Like, it's wild. Like,
all right. What else you got?
Oh, man. Attack on Titan.
I watched the first three episodes, but I was so high that I just kind of sat there. Why? Freaked out. Like, because their teeth are so freaky. I was just like, whoa. Like, I also was like not into anime at that point. My friend was just like, you gotta watch this. And I was just like, what the fuck did we just watch?
You can't watch that high. You have to be sober. Like, stone cold sober. Because, like you said, the first three episodes are not for, like, the faint of heart. Like, you have to be ready to see some fuck shit.
Yeah.
Like, because they this is on the newer end of animes where they just stopped caring. And by stopped caring... is what I mean by that is like they said, oh, you love these characters? Kill every single one of them in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Do it. And you feel bad because like they don't make the deaths like quick and painless like most animes do. They make you watch them get eaten by these titans, and you get to hear them cry and plead for their lives and talk about like their families and like how they won't get
really
home and shit.
It really harshed my fucking high.
And you're just looking at it like, oh my god. And you know that's a real place. Like,
yeah.
Where they base it off of is actually a place you can go visit. I don't remember exactly where it is, but I don't want to say it and be wrong, but like I watched a TikTok where like these people actually visited. They have the walls, like, and they're sectioned off and shit. Like, it's so cool. But that's a show you have to watch sober, and you have to have a good week to watch.
Okay.
Because they give you concept like where people they get really existential, where they look at like the universe, like, you know how they do that thing where they pan out,
yeah,
like your planet, then your star, then your universe and shit, and they make you feel really small. That's what this show does for me personally, like as a person, because like these people are just trying to survive day-to-day life inside these walls, where outside these walls are just these gigantic humanoid things that eat people. And it makes me feel panicked. Like, I always like to think, what would I do in these situations? Attack on Titan is always, I would just die.
Just get eaten.
I wouldn't want to live through that. Like, again, this is another show where these kids have trauma. And it's a continued trauma. And the generals have trauma. The adults have trauma that are still alive.
Right.
And it just doesn't get better for them. They grow as characters, yeah. But god damn, do they have problems.
Well, one thing we should say about, like, the cultural background is, starting in, like, the 1990s, Japan just nosedived into a crazy economic recession.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when you started to see anime get super duper dark. And it's really reflecting, like, a whole generation of people that felt like they had no future at all.
Mm-hmm. Media will always reflect the times. And if your show that you like from whatever time period is super duper moody and super dark and hopeless feeling,
right?
That's how it was over there. That's how they were feeling at the time. People don't put their emotions in their own work, because if I made stuff, if I was doing all this stuff, there would be a lot of, like, of my emotion into it. Whether if I was having a bad day or, like, when I created this show, I was having a good day, it would reflect in my work.
And your fears, like, Walking Dead has been really popular for, like, years now. And I always, like, say, like, and by the way, I've never watched it. By the way, I've watched one episode.
I've only played the Telltale game, which I will argue is much better.
I've played the Last of Us games. To me, zombies are global warming. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more palatable, because when you think about what's really going to kill you, that freaks you out.
It reflects the times, it reflects what we're living in. And that's what I find beautiful about media and art. Because you can see it, you can feel it in the writing, and that's why I consumed so much of anime, because there's something about the writing that they put in there that feels really real. Like, there's not many shows, like animated shows, that I can say, like, I watched, I'm just like, I feel this. The one of the last ones that I seen was BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yeah.
And that felt too real of a show, like, writing-wise and character-wise, for me to be, like, I forget that they're animals. Like, I forget that they're being portrayed as these creatures. Because
the emotions are so real.
Yeah, there's a whole episode in there where BoJack is giving a eulogy at what he thinks is his mom's funeral, but it's just him. It's him at some random funeral, by the way. But he's just pouring his heart out about, like, the trials and tribulations that he went through as a kid. And, like, he's like, you know what? Maybe this is why I'm an unlovable asshole and I'm so depressed with my fame and I can't get anything. I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? And there's really no music happening in the background. You just hear him talking for 23 minutes.
Yeah. I actually stopped watching that show because it was just, like, bumming me out too much.
It gets too fucking real way too fast.
I dipped out after he tried to, like, fuck the young deer.
Oh, my God.
Daughter of his, like, friend or whatever.
Daughter of his first, like, real girlfriend. He tried to fuck her daughter.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's so fucking bad. Oh, my God. All right, back on track, because I feel like I keep talking about other shit, and it keeps...
Well, what's on the... Back to the list.
Another one that was reanimated, is Hunter Hunter, or Hunter X Hunter, as some people call it. Hunter Hunter follows this young boy named Gon who wants to be a professional hunter. Hunters go around basically doing all types of jobs, whether it's small jobs, odd jobs, collecting bounties, finding rare artifacts and shit like that. That's what hunters do. And you need a license to go do these things to get paid for it. Gon was abandoned by his father at birth. Okay. And he is now set on this journey to go meet his dad. But he's like, I can't meet my dad if I don't become a hunter. So if I become a hunter, I can go find my dad, because now I have the skills to hunt my father down.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, he meets a bunch of, like, characters that kind of become his family.
Or daddy issues.
Daddy issues are
daddy,
like,
daddy issues, man.
The push are like the moving force of anything of these shows. And it's like, oh, you got parent issues? That's crazy. There's a show about it. But he meets these characters that essentially become, like, his two dads, that become his brother and shit like that. Like, he meets this character named Killua, Killua Zoldyck, who is a part of this high-ranking family of assassins, like, the best in the world. heal up from a young age was tortured, poisoned, beat up to the point where at the age of, I think, 12, and there were people that try to poison him, try to kill him. He's like, I've been hurt worse than this my entire life. There's three times in the series where people try to poison him, and he's just like, fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Idiot. Like, he'll fake it and be like, oh, I'm weeping. Stupid, cut your head off. He's a little merciless little goon, but like, Gon as a character kind of softens him up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gon is such a positive force in all the characters' lives that no matter what they're going through, they always be like, I'm going to do this for Gon because he's like a little ray of sunshine and he'll do anything for anybody. And that's what I love about it. Like, he's just a lovable character.
Okay. And I think that is on Netflix.
Yeah. You're only going to get so much of it, though.
Oh, okay.
Because it cuts off after season 3, I'm thinking. And then you go into the Chimera Ant arc, and that's, I found that on HBO Max. That's the only place I can really find it. I went down, we talked about the Ghibli movies, we talked about FLCL. The new one, Jujutsu Kaisen. I thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy this show. There's only so many episodes out right now, but I'm digging it.
And this is currently happening. This is currently airing.
This is currently airing. Like, episodes, I think, come out Fridays or Saturdays. I can't remember. But it's currently airing. The episodes are continuously coming out each week.
Where are you getting them?
HBO Max.
Okay. I'm so, I guess, used to Western stories. Like, I can watch almost any, like, American TV show. And even if I love it, basically be like, I know where it's going to go. But that doesn't happen with anime. Like, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. thank you so much for this list. Before we wrap up, I'm just interested in what American animation you're into. You mentioned BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yeah. BoJack Horseman, I love to death. There was a weird spinoff, but I don't want to disrespect it like that, but Tuca and Birdie came out a little bit after BoJack Horseman. It looks like they were done by the same studio. And it's more talking about like the trials and tribulation of like women in society. And like, I was raised by all women. So, like, clearly with the exception of my dad and all the male figures in my life, but I was mainly around the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So watching that show, I was like, wow, this is awesome. This is a great representation to see right now.
What are your thoughts on, like, the American shows that are clearly anime-inspired, like Avatar?
I love them. Love, love, love them. I had a very in-depth conversation about Legend of Korra and Avatar. And this goes back to the beginning of our conversation where people will trash a property like just to make their point about the other one. And people,
people hate Korra.
People hate Korra, or people love Korra and be like, oh, Aang sucks. I'm just like, they're both equally good, but you can pick apart each of them for what they are and be like, yeah, I like them because they're like this, and I like her because of these reasons. I love Korra because she's absolutely flawed.
She
comes in with all this boisterous personality, super confident, and then it just keeps getting knocked down peg after peg after peg.
Right.
And to the point where she kind of spirals into this depression, and that helps her grow.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about Korra, is that she didn't come in like Aang did, super knowledgeable and super like very kiddish, but like
he's like, I'm gonna save the world, whatever. And she's like much more complicated.
Right. She's like, I am the Avatar. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Fight me. Literally, all Korra is at the point.
And Korra, the Korra series features like a 2 or 3 episode arc that is done in like watercolor style. And it tells the history of how the Avatar came to be. And that alone is just like unbelievably beautiful.
Oh my god, it's so pretty. I love that episode. When I rewatched it with my fiance, I was like, I forgot about this. I watched it when it aired originally, and I was like, I love this. I forgot how much this was so beautiful to look at.
Yeah, it's crazy good. Thank you so much for coming on and helping enlighten me. I'm very excited. You know, I was thinking the other day, we talk a lot about obsessions on this podcast, and I think I could track my life on different obsessions. And there's always like one main obsession and then like things that are like orbiting around it. And I feel like I'm entering a new obsession, which is exciting because there's always shit. There's always more. That's the beauty of life. Like, you're never going to watch everything and read everything, which is fucking great.
There's too much already out there, and there's even if you get to a point where you feel like I'm getting close to the end, you're not. You're never close to the end of consuming stuff that you're currently obsessed with or what you're really into. There's always a new artist. There's always a new musician. There's always a new show. There's always something to grab your attention and bring it back in.
Yeah. Where can like people find your stuff?
You can find me on Instagram, SoundCloud, and Spotify, and anywhere you stream music, really, really, on SVNDWN, pronounced Sundown. Say hi. I don't bite. If you do somehow find me off of this podcast and you want to say hello, just send me a DM. I'm very friendly. I'll say hi back.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you. We'll as I continue this journey, you'll come back.
Yeah, let me know when you get deeper into it, and then we can have a more in-depth discussion about like what you've been watching, man.
Absolutely. You know, we end every episode by saying go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.